Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we're joined by Jessica Marshall, Director of Customer Experience and one of the co-founders of The Receptionist, and Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing. We're talking all about happy customers and how keeping our customers happy is our best marketing strategy. We talk all about Michael and Jess's personal philosophies when it comes to marketing and how that plays out at The Receptionist. We also talk a lot about reviews and customer stories and how we utilize those to help other people understand who we are and what we do. It really takes exceedingly happy customers to share about their experience, not just with us, but in any situation. So we make sure that we practice radical support. This is an idea that we have trademarked, and it's something that we were doing before we even had an official name for it. So we chat reviews, net promoter score, something called customer effort score, and referrals. When it comes to growing your business, marketing efforts are really important, but the way that we market isn't what you might expect. So stick around and learn more. All right, we are back on this episode of the podcast. I'm so excited. We have two guests today. We have Jessica Marshall, Director of Customer Experience and co-founder of The Receptionist, and we have Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing. So before we get into our topic about keeping our customers happy and how we do that and the best strategies for that, let's meet our guests. So Jessica, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been with the company, what you do here.
Hi, it's good to hear from you again. What do I do here? I'm the Director of Customer Experience. I am a co-founder of The Receptionist. I was the first hire, and I'm coming up on 4 years this spring. I keep people happy. I answer questions. I think out of the box. I twist our software in ways that perhaps it wasn't built to do, but can still do. And I just try and keep people happy.
I love that. Keep people happy. That's good because we want happy customers.
Always.
And happy team members too, but we're here to
talk, that too.
We're here to talk about customers. And Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a little over almost a year and a half now here at The Receptionist as the Director of Marketing. And my job is to take the happy customers that Jess and her team create and tell their stories. So
yeah, definitely. So Jessica, obviously you've been with the company for quite a while. You laid some great foundation before Michael came on board. So tell us a little bit about how we got to this idea of radical support and kind of give us some context for the conversation we're going to have today.
Sure. Well, I mean, in the early days, I was the first hire and we did have a contractor who was doing some marketing for us. We did a lot of content marketing and it sort of kept coming around to what story are we going to tell? What is it that's going to set us apart from our competitors? Because at the time it was a slightly smaller marketplace for a visitor management solution. And we needed to be able to tell a different kind of story. There wasn't giant differences between us and our competitors. We did have features they didn't. We certainly had a different approach to sales strategy. Even then, we don't do contracts. But what I think for me, obviously coming from an experience perspective, what was an obvious differentiator was how do we treat our customers and our employees? How human can we be? How kind, how fun, how easy can we make it to work with us? And is that something that we can really use to set us apart? And it was easy. And it sort of led to that conversation around radical support. What if we give this a name? We can act this way and we can treat our customers this way and we can have this voice of fun and personability between ourselves and our customers. But if we put a name to it, then that's something that we can really market. That's something that we can take and build content around, build marketing around, and set ourselves apart from our competitors. And it's funny, just last week, I think I read an article about what industries customers will pay more simply for a better experience. It's not that one coffee is better from another coffee. It's that the environment that they're sitting in is a nicer environment or more conducive to the customer that they're going after. And that obviously wasn't the original plan. Like, we can charge more because we're awesome. We still don't charge more. We're just awesome. And it's that experience that we give our customers that really sets us apart. So that was that first sort of turn in, let's use this tool to speak to our customers and to market ourselves as different.
Yeah, I love that. Michael, what do you have to say about all that? Yeah. That's a lot of great information about what we do and why it's so important to us and how we do it well.
It is. And the thing that just as Jess was kind of talking there and describing the origins of this, the key thing that came to my mind is it happened organically. It wasn't some forced, like, we're going to sit down in a room and discuss how we want to portray ourselves to the market. This is just who we are. Like, we're fun people. We like what we do. We like coming into work and we like creating happy customers. Work is a whole heck of a lot more fun when you can come in and deal with happy customers who maybe have a support issue that they need taken care of versus one that's mad at you and constantly looking for a reason to leave. And they feel like, but they feel like they're locked into, you know, a relationship with you. And that just, from the work that I do on a day in and day out basis, is try to market that story. It makes my job that much easier. I'm now not necessarily focused on the creating the experience of marketing from a marketing standpoint as much as I am just trying to get that experience in front of as many people as possible, right? And that it's really exciting when, you know, I can step into a situation where that foundation's already been laid. And again, like I said, it's organic. It happened. And so it just feels, the customer feels it. They sense it. They understand it. And it comes across in everything that we do, I think.
Absolutely. So would you say that sort of relates to your personal philosophy when it comes to marketing strategy?
Yeah. And it's also a sign of the times. You know, people are savvy enough now when they know they're being sold to and they know they're being sold a line of crap. And so,
yes, we do know.
We know. And we're savvy enough to go and read reviews. We're savvy enough to ask for or go and check out references before we even get in contact with the company that we are thinking about buying a piece of software from or a service from. That's just the nature of the game at this point. And so my philosophy in terms of marketing, and I've said it on here on the podcast before, is just, you know, I want to tell the story of the success that our customers have. And oh, by the way, they happen to use a really awesome tool and they have this great experience with us.
Yeah. And just what about you? Obviously, you do a lot of different things, but do you have a personal philosophy when it comes to marketing and how does that play out here at The Receptionist?
You know, I like a lot of what Michael said. First of all, the organic nature of it. When something feels forced, when you feel sold, you do feel that. It's obvious that there's a line, there's a script, there's a line of questioning, there are boxes put around that experience. When those boxes don't exist, then it feels more authentic. And that's part of our fabric. We are authentic. Right. And we've always lived that philosophy before we even put fabric around it, before we put words around it. We're authentic. We're going to be real with people. I don't know that I could say it's a marketing philosophy so much as it's a support philosophy, because I'm support,
right?
Experience. so much more than I'm marketing, but that authenticity always shines through. When you have true customer stories to tell, then it lands as it should. It doesn't feel like you have to sell something that's untrue.
Absolutely. And both of you have said a lot about customer stories and also reviews. Now, are those similar? Are those different? Talk to us about that.
I think they're a little bit different, and maybe I can illustrate a couple points here.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple weeks ago, Jess had just sent me a message via Slack of a conversation that Andy, our CEO and president, had with a customer. He was in there, he was working through support, and our customer leaves this great review or comment after her experience saying, "Hey, I can't believe the president and CEO was in here getting his hands dirty. Like, it helps to know that that's the kind of backing that you guys have with support." And that was just a little small snippet of time. It was just a little bitty story. But hey, the marketer in me, my eyes lit up and I'm like, I got to use this. So, you know, I reached out to the customer. "Hey, saw you had a great experience with Andy today getting help for your support issue. Can I use your quote that you left us in your ticket on social media?" And the customer enthusiastically replied back, "Absolutely. Yes, go ahead. I'd love to see the image once you get it created." I sent it over to our designer. They create this great looking image that I share on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And it's a little small snippet of the experience that a customer had with us that, in my mind, at least, it made their day. And it sets, to Jess's point, it sets us apart. That's a different experience than you're going to get at a lot of other places.
Right.
So that's just a story from a review standpoint. You know, that kind of wheel was already turning when I came here. And maybe Jess can speak to kind of the emphasis that was put on capturing reviews before I showed up. But that was a goldmine for me to walk into, was all of these reviews on Capterra and G2 Crowd. And we proactively ask for those things. But I found in my experience, it's really hard to get people who are happy to actually take the time to leave a review. They have to be really happy. Usually they're mad and they're leaving a bad review. Think of a restaurant on Yelp, for instance. So the fact that we have just this gold mine, like I've said, of reviews, and they consistently come in, we ask for them all the time, and our customers are willing to take the time to even write that. Man, that's every bit as powerful as, you know, the story that I detailed earlier. And like I said, maybe Jess can speak to kind of what went into that. Was it a concerted effort? I actually don't know. I'm interested in myself.
give us some history.
Well, the history of reviews, I have to say, to Michael's point, you know, when I sent that customer comment over to him, that's sort of my marketing philosophy, is when I see somebody say something like that, it's like, "Ooh, gold mine. But do something with it." And that's when I send it to Michael. "You can do something with this, run with it." As far as the history of reviews, it's sort of the state of normalcy these days. People want to read reviews. They want to hear real user interactions, not just with our software, but with our team. And it was part of our original marketing consultancy's plan. We were trying to get reviews. It was more on Capterra than G2. And that's been less of a platform for us recently. But I would send them a link at the end of a conversation or an email. I would just say, "If you like what we did or you don't, tell us what you think. If you have a minute, send us a review. We'd really appreciate it." And it usually came after a particularly lengthy or tricky conversation that we were able to resolve. I would say, "You know, how'd we do? Tell us. Because I really want to know whether we did well or not. I want an honest piece of feedback. If I can improve, say so." So we just started sending it out, and it's been kind of a saved reply, and it has turned into a campaign that Michael has built to get even more reviews outside of those closed ticket instances.
Yeah. And I would imagine, because radical support has been your goal far before it was trademarked as radical support, that, like you said, you're creating these really happy customers, not just happy customers, right? Because they don't always write reviews, but these really happy, really satisfied customers. And so they are inclined to click that link and leave the review so that it shares what you do and how awesome we are at it.
And when you put it in front of them at the very end of that interaction, they're more likely to respond. If we send it blind, I'm less likely to respond when I get those blind. "Yeah, I like your software. You're really great. It's fun to work with you. I appreciate you." But when I have a particularly good, or to Michael's point, bad experience, I'm much more likely to take those extra steps to provide my feedback to whatever company that may be.
Yeah. And so obviously we do have a lot of great reviews, and I know we share those with prospective customers, but how else are you able to use those as a company? to help market or share our story of what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, the idea behind, you know, my marketing philosophy is just to get those things in front of as many eyes as possible. One really cool thing that's happened for us recently is on G2 Crowd in particular, a customer left us a video review. So they actually, you know, took the time to not only like leave us a review, but put themselves in front of a camera and leave us a review. And that just is so cool to me. And so that is easily shareable content. I mean, people are these days are much more visually oriented. And so the more we can share those images and share those videos on social media, the more we can include those links to those reviews in our email nurturing campaigns that go out to prospective customers. We just try to leverage the base of information that we've got there, and the how many times they reference their support experience just again speaks to the level of support that they're getting, that it just validates, I think, in a lot of ways, what they're considering at that point. Because they are definitely, if they're reading those things, they're definitely in the consideration phase. You don't just go and read visitor management reviews if you're not actually looking for something, right. Looking for a solution. So again, we just, the more we can try to educate versus on what visitor management is, and then how people have just a radically different experience with us, notwithstanding the amazing software, then the better chances we have of welcoming them to us as a customer.
Absolutely. So obviously those reviews are very important, but there's a couple other pieces of information that are kind of useful for us. So one is the NPS, the Net Promoter Score. Jess, can you talk to us about that?
Sure. So Net Promoter Score is something that came around, in my early years of doing customer support and service, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. It really launched itself as the ground level of how are you doing as a service provider? Anything that is scored, it's a score of 1 to 10, and I might get this wrong, 8, 9, and 10 means a promoter. And promoter says, I'm going to tell someone actively how great my experience was with this company or this software or this company. I think it's 5 to 7 is passive. It may even be just be 6 and 7 is passive, meaning they like you enough, but they're probably not going to talk about you actively. And 5 and below is a detractor, meaning they're probably going to go out of their way to say something bad about their experience to someone else. So we implemented a Net Promoter Score program that runs both on a customer lifespan cycle. I think we hit 60-day customers, and then we try and run a Net Promoter Score for all customers once a year. Our scores for against our competitors in all SaaS companies is kind of unbelievable, and it's still unbelievable, honestly. And Michael may have more statistics than I do about this. It's not something I watch that closely. I think that standard for SaaS companies is in the 30s to 40s, and our averages tend to be between the very high 50s, generally into the 80s. And I say that range because we've had the rolling nature of the score itself means that on any given day, it could be 57 because we haven't gotten a score for 30 days. Or it could be 87 because we've gotten 10 scores over the last week. The feedback point sort of skews that average, but we're averaging it, I would say, what, in the 70s, Michael, I think, across the board? Which again,
70 nearly 80.
Yeah, 70s to nearly 80s, which again, I think for SaaS companies, that average is in the 50s. So that's ridiculous. So it's something that, A, we obviously continue to do because it's kind of the baseline. We also don't pay too much attention to it on a daily basis, but to follow up. And we see every one of those scores come through. So if we have someone that is even in a passive or below, so that's a 7 to a 1 score, we'll follow up with every single one of them. What could we do better? What are you experiencing? And how can we improve your experience? We'll do anything we can to ensure your satisfaction with your experience with our software and our people. So that's NPS in a nutshell.
And on the flip side, you know, I obviously see all the scores as well, but I see the 8s, 9s, and 10s, and I make a note of them and say, there's my next future business. I'm going to follow up with them. If they leave us a great comment, I'm obviously going to reach out and say, hey, I'd love to write a featured business or a case study piece about you for our website. And the response to those is amazing too. You know, the amount of people who are willing to jump on a phone call with me and let me write a story about how they use our system is really, I mean, the response rate to that is phenomenally high. And to Jess's point, I think I remember at one point reading about NPS and saying and hearing or reading that a world-class NPS score is in like the mid-60s, maybe pushing 70. And so the fact that we are consistently 70, 75, 80 over the course of a 30-day window is mind-blowing. Like Jess said, it boggles the mind it's to think ridiculous. About. How high those are. And again, it's another data point that both Jess and I can use in our roles to make sure that we're serving either A, the market, or B, our customers with as much service and support as possible.
I'll add to that too. I think what both of us mentioned was that we can all see that. So the entire company sees those scores come through. We have a Slack channel set up. So it's not relegated to, this is a score for our software or our support or for marketing to utilize. The entire company sees those scores. And that's important not only because the entire company participates in assisting our customers, but they're a part of that score too. It's not just my team and it's not just Michael's team putting it out there. This is all of us. This reflects on all of us. So having it be a company measurement, I think, has allowed us to really embrace that radical nature of this is what sets us apart.
Yeah, definitely. And then what is the customer effort score? Tell us a little bit about
that. Sure. So NPS is old now, right? Quote unquote. NPS is a good decade old, which means we got to have something new. Customer effort score is something I just heard about last year. My colleague Hannah went to some professional development weekend and came back talking about this new scoring system. So I did a lot of research about it. The difference between net promoter and customer effort is that effort level. What it tends to be are those surveys that you receive immediately after hanging up with or ending a chat or closing an email with a service team that says, how easy did we make your experience today? Was it easy to work with us? Was it easy to set up our solution? So it's an effort score. We did a good bit of research. We tried out a couple of solutions, none of which we really loved. And part of that is the tool that we use for chat, Intercom, props to Intercom, we love them the most. they sort of have a built-in effort scoring system, but it's cute and fun, and it's by way of smiley and frowny face emojis.
Emojis.
So instead of getting a 1 to 10 score, you get a starry-eyed happy face, or you get a super mad frowny face, and, you know, 2 in between. So we were kind of doing that, and that automatically sends at the end of every closed chat. To back that up or to end that and instead implement another scoring survey, I don't love the feel of it. We're already doing that with NPS. If we can get smiley faces, that indicates a score anyway. It's just not saying the words effort. So we played around with a couple of different options. We really ended up going back to, we like the smiley, happy, frowny faces because it gives us instant feedback that we can follow up on at the end of every single one of those conversations. What I'm sort of nurturing as part of my first quarter goals and my rocks is to implement a much more comprehensive survey that merges both NPS and really a customer experience survey. I want more than just numbers. I want a word cloud. I want the kind of feedback that we receive after those chats, the ones that Michael has mentioned. I want words. And that's not going to come at the same frequency as a score will come. It's going to be fewer and further between, but it's also going to be that much more meaningful if I can get sentences and words and experience, and this is what it was like, and this part of setup was hard, and this part of working with you was great. That's more meaningful to me. So even though CES is a cool new score, I don't know that it's something that we're really going to implement outside of what we've already done with Happy Faces.
Right. That definitely makes sense. And, you know, what we're sort of getting a big picture of is how happy our customers are. So let's talk a little bit about happy customers and referrals and how that really is the best marketing strategy. Michael, what do you think?
Yeah. And one point, Jess, we just ran the numbers for January and we were at what, 97% happy faces?
97% happy faces. And it would have been higher, but I was solicited via our chat program for you know, another service. And I said, no, thank you. And he gave me the only bad score for the month.
We can't make everyone happy, I guess. I'm sure you were very nice about how you told him no.
I really was. I said, thanks, but no, thank you. We're not interested in your product at this time. Have a good day.
We can only do so much, right?
We can only do so much.
No, I mean, to kind of bring this home is you know, those referrals, you know, if I look at if a customer is leaving us a great, you know, happy face score in their chat, or they're leaving us an 8, 9, or 10 on an NPS, or they're leaving us reviews on G2 Crowd or Capterra. You know, to Jess's point, those are promoters. Those tend to be people who know they've got something good. They're happy about what they've got, and they tend to tell their friends. You know, whether you're a business colleague or just a friend of someone else at a different company, you tend to want to share the ideas that make you feel good. And so, you know, at the end of the day, the best marketing that can happen is to have your customers do your marketing for you. And if we're putting in this that much effort to make them happy on the customer experience side and make them, you know, really enjoy their experience both with us as people and our software, you know, we know then that they're going to go tell their friends. I mean, just like you would trust a friend's review of a restaurant over, you know, an editorial in a newspaper from a restaurant writer, you know, these things are just, it's to Jess's point, I think she said earlier, this is just the norm now. This is just how a lot of business is done. And we want to provide all the information so that at the point they say, you know what, I'm going to check that out, Joe or Jane over at that other company, you mentioned it to me, I'm going to go check that out. As a marketer, I want to provide all of the information to them when they finally hit on our website or on our social media page and are starting to explore, what the heck is this receptionist for iPad thing? And why is my friend so excited about it that he had to tell me or she had to tell me? So that really, at the end of the day, is like I said, your customers are your best, most effective marketing tool. And that's really what it comes down to for me. And I think Jess would agree with that. She's shaking her head. So
yeah, you can't see us, but everyone's nodding over here. So before we wrap up today, obviously we know we want to keep our customers happy. That is one of our biggest priorities in making sure we continue with radical support. But for our listeners, any final thoughts for bootstrap startups and their marketing effort? Aside from having a great product that you believe in and treating your customers really well?
I'll say two things there. One is to build a really strong relationship between experience and product. When there are no walls between the two, product gets to hear customer feedback and customer experience can present what product is building for them. I think that the fact that we've had open walls from the very beginning has allowed us to build what our customers want. And product, Dylan, has always been willing to jump in and talk to customers. What do you really want to do here? I know you asked for this. Is this what you're looking for? That makes such a big difference in building what a customer wants, first of all. for the experience side of things, I think you make those connections. I've always looked for what do I have in common with this person asking me a question? Do I see that they're from a place I've visited? Can I make one personal connection outside of the question they're asking me to say, oh, hey, you're in Chicago. I heard you got a big storm. Everybody okay over there? You shut down? Do you have power? Are you, you know, batting down the hatches for the weekend? How can you make that one extra step that isn't just a good experience? It's a personal experience. If you do that, you have everything you need to then take it and market it as this is how we deal with our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great episode with Dylan Berry, our director of engineering, how we talk about dealing with customer requests and how we handle those. So we'll be sure to link to that for everyone. Michael, final thoughts from you or advice for our listeners?
Final thought is just, as we mentioned earlier, be organically you. It costs, whether you're bootstrapped or well-funded, it costs $0 to be authentically human and have that reflected in everything that you do, every touch point with the market, every touch point with your founder or your board. Just be authentically human, and that costs no money, and it's organic, and it reflects the true nature of who you are as a company, and everything else will kind of cascade from there. So that would be my final words of wisdom.
I love that, and I think that's good advice for everyone just in day-to-day, right?
Yeah,
just
totally.
Authentically human, and probably everything's going to be just a little bit better.
Right.
So, well, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a great conversation all about marketing, but all about helping people just be happy.
Absolutely. So, love it.
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.